Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Let's talk about Youth Day and understand or get a sense of the involvement, political involvement of our youngsters. And if we look back at 1976, it was the youth. This was a pivotal day in the transformation of South Africa from a racial to a non-racial society. Youth have always played an important part, but where are our youth today? Gabriel Krause is joining us. He's a writer and analyst at the Institute of Race Relations. Gabriel, welcome back and good morning. Thanks for joining us on a public holiday so nice and early.
Glad to be talking with you, Howard. Greetings to you and your listeners, and yeah, I wish you well on commemorative Youth Day.
So let's understand this. First of all, are South African youth involved at all with politics and vote when it comes to voting?
I mean, at all is a low bar. There are certainly some youth who do vote, but the numbers are extremely low. They are part of a broader pattern of voter turnout decline. Roughly speaking, voter turnout of registered voters has dropped from around 80% at its peak to, in the low 40s. But registered voters are only part of the story, because there's a lot of people who are not registering to vote. In fact, over a third of the country. So, you know, the overall voter turnout decline is down to a quarter. And youth are, I think, five times, roughly, if you're looking at the lowest age group, like 18 to 20, over five times less likely to be registered or to vote than the average adult South African. So they really are very, very small numbers of late teenagers or people in their early 20s who vote. That is, it's normal in the world for youth to be less actively involved in politics than middle-aged people. And it's usual for elderly people to be more actively engaged in politics. I think as people gain experience, they gain the wisdom of realizing, even if it's not very sexy, it's very important to show up and have your vote be counted. That being said, the extremes that we're seeing in South Africa are what's happening in South Africa is normal in the world, but it's unusual in its intensity. It's far more intense here than in comparable countries.
Which is so strange, because there is deep corruption in government. There is a complete failure of service delivery. Our youth are, many of our youth are seeing parents who have struggled for years and years. They too are struggling and maybe aren't being given the opportunities that they should have been given. And it's not as a result anymore of the apartheid system, but actually failure of government. Surely that in of itself should motivate the desire for not only political involvement, but simple things like voting.
Yeah, I think so. I think it should. I'll say two things about why I think it doesn't. One of them is that there are certain actions in life where you can't really see the difference in an immediate or clear way, but where the difference is there and it's very important. And voting really is one of those actions. So, you know, voting is this weird thing where, just statistically, if you say, using the language of American courts, but for causation, does it apply? But for your vote, would the outcome be any different? Is one vote likely to be the thing that makes a difference? And in a way, you know, you just look statistically at it and it's like, no, the answer is no. Like, one vote is not likely to make the difference. And it's the same kind of reasoning actually applies to a lot of decisions to do, I guess, with good neighborliness. Is like one exercise in respecting the rules of the road really going to make the difference between an accident and not an accident? Is one exercise in good neighborliness really going to make the difference between your neighborhood being a place that is, you know, that's making a material difference to people's lives? Yes or no? No, one broken light or one bit of litter being picked up. But one of the things that people who live in high trust environments learn is that even where but-for causation doesn't apply, contributory causation does apply. That, you know, if everyone is picking up the litter, if everyone is being respectful to one another in the neighborhood, then that neighborhood is materially going to be different. It's like your houses are going to be worth more in a very real way.
Right.
If everyone is obeying the rules of the road, there will be less accidents. I can't say which one of the people driving too quickly or skipping the traffic light or skipping the stop street is going to cause an accident. But I can say for sure that if everyone's breaking those rules, there will be accidents and death. And if everyone's respecting those rules, there will be fewer deaths and fewer accidents. And the same goes for voting. One vote might not make the difference, but many, many votes do make the difference. And that is a contributory kind of activity that people who have faith, who have trust in one another in a kind of stable human set of relations, buy into. And South Africa has extraordinarily low levels of trust. In Africa, we have the lowest levels of trust on average in government institutions of recorded countries, in like 30 countries in Africa. So I think that the negative trends that we've seen in unemployment, in GDP, in gross fixed capital formation, investment flight, capital flight, all of this kind of thing, I think one of the things that that has done in South Africa is to produce a great trust deficit. And the trust deficit is one of the reasons that the youth don't vote. That's the one big reason. The other big reason is that political parties have so far not managed to get a message that drives home. And I think that's also an opportunity for them in the next round to do better.
Yeah, it in other words, it's almost a movement, a culture amongst youth not to get involved. And as you say, because one vote doesn't really make much of a difference, the answer is talking to our youth as a general. There's obviously a problem on a more general level. Otherwise, they would do this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that here's another way to think about the generalized problem. If you look in a healthy democracy where people are, where youth are starting to vote fairly early, what are the patterns that you tend to see? You tend to see that history is well taught at school in a way that encourages people to have a sense of the value of democracy. That you also have not just it being taught at school, but it being lived out. You know, people can look around in their environment and see that democracy is doing well. Now, democracy did very well for South Africa, including poor South Africans. It's not just social grants. Social grants are an important part of it. Piped water, brick houses, you know, the stats on where that was in the 80s and where it is today. It's day and night. It is an amazing number of changes that were achieved under the ANC, and there was GDP growth in the 2000s to boost that. But in the last 10 years, there's really been less and less to tangibly celebrate about the achievements of democracy. And the way that history teaches it, the kind of, I've been going over back over the South African history syllabus even as it is, and reflecting on township school visits that I used to make when I was a university student to try and facilitate some history teaching. It's like a lot of the students felt like their teachers were teaching them that the best thing in history was struggling against the system, was fighting the system, and that the system still needs to be fought against. There's no room for
in other
participating
words,
within
right,
the system.
Right, so why go and vote? Because that's actually working alongside, that is working the system.
Exactly. That's giving up your radical revolutionary credentials. So, right. You know, that's one part of it. Then you look in universities. Are there political parties affiliated with universities? Are there other clubs and societies affiliated with universities? Are there labor unions? Are there active parts of civil society that are giving students who are eagerly joining the intellectual battle to learn, whether it's STEM subjects or humanities subjects, you know, to grow their minds? Are they being given real on-ramps to the voting mainstream?
Right, because it also means we do need to end, unfortunately, because it's after 7:30. But it also means that the political parties themselves are clearly not talking to the youth in the way they should. And that is both an opportunity and a danger, because the wrong political party, and I mean wrong as in one that doesn't potentially value democratic values, or the wrong movement, rather, could capture the imagination of the youth if the other parties don't. I mean, those are my words, not Gabriel.
Amen to that, though.
Okay, cool. I'm glad. I just realized I didn't want to put words into your mouth. Gabriel Krause, writer and analyst at the Institute of Race Relations. Why do you think South African youth are not voting? What do you think the problem is, and how can we change that?